Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super-duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
We find this knuckle sandwich. We're not doing brain ass.
Yeah! Woo! The Matt and Rachel Show.
Rachel.
Yay! Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Thanks for rocking. This time's the Meat Men.
Did you know today was the first National Food Day?
Today was the first National
Food Day? Yes, yes. National Food Day.
As opposed to any other day?
Yeah, exactly.
Please explain.
No, that's what I thought was. It's the you know, the Center for Science and the Public Interest at all.
Oh, yeah.
No, do you guys? I'm talking to our guests before I've introduced them. That's a big no-no. But
pretend we're not here.
Yeah, just for a sec.
No.
But so this is the very first one. It's kind of like one of the founders of Earth Day was this guy, Michael Jacobson, who helped found the Center for Science and the Public Interest, which is sounds like it's supposed to be some national. It is kind of a national think tank. They definitely lean towards sustainable agriculture, reducing that's definitely their mission.
Helping.
What's that?
Helping people. Kind of
helping. Thing. Yes, helping people. Helping people not get diabetes. Helping small farmers make a living. Yada yada yada. But today was they're trying to do something kind of like Earth Day. So this is the very first one ever. Yes.
Did you celebrate?
Well, I mean, I didn't. But apparently several other thousand people around the country did.
I never even heard of it. I wasn't even Googled about it.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. When was the first Earth Day? 70-something?
You're asking the wrong guy.
That's why I was on the way here. I was wondering if it would actually become as big or as popular.
Well, you want to hear something that's big and popular?
Yeah. Well, what's that?
Rachel, how long have you been enjoying the timbre of my voice?
The timbre. Is that how you pronounce that word?
It's timbre? Timbre. I think it's a little French.
Timbre. By the way, 1970, first Earth Day.
Oh, 1970. Did you know? Hey, Jack in the Booth, did you know about Food Day?
No, I did not.
See? This
I was at a conference this morning with Mayor Bloomberg and Christine Quinn, who were talking about Food Day, and the... All of us in attendance were like, oh, it's Food Day? Really?
That's
why you're doing this?
What the hell is Earth Day?
What is Earth Day? What is Food Day? They got to name these things a little more specifically so we should care more.
And they're telling us all the
I don't
happy
give a shit about
day.
Any of this because I just don't know that I should
if
care.
If only two of the five people in this room, one of whom heard it at a conference, knew it was Food Day. Something like we should have known about
in
it.
In all fairness, I'm a deeply ignorant person.
Yes, but
the problem with Food Day is that every day is like a food day now. Like there's a national, there's a National Seafood Newburgh Day. I'm not even fucking kidding you. There's a National Food on a Stick Day, National Bubblegum Day.
Arbor Day.
I planned my takedown around
Thanksgiving.
Ice cream day. Yeah. Reagan invented ice cream.
But this is supposed
day.
To be kind of, I mean, those are about eating
he
certain
also,
items.
He
it's
also
bullshit.
Told people that ketchup.
Yeah,
is
yeah. She's right. I get PR emails every day.
Every day.
Oh, yeah. Ketchup soup. That was a huge thing. I was in Mississippi once driving through and they said.
This is supposed to be a promote small farms end diabetes kind of food day.
Promote diabetes day.
So don't you think? Yes. Don't you think that it's badly named, perhaps?
It's a crap name.
Fuck this shit.
Can we focus on me for just a second?
Yes, absolutely.
Remember when I said, do you guys enjoy the timbre of my voice?
Yes, and we all agreed. We did.
Yeah. Guess who else appreciates the timbre of my voice? Guess who else? Well, I already did tell you. McDonald's. McDonald's is going to cast me in a radio commercial really soon that you guys, if you listen to the radio, will hear. Do you listen to the radio?
I listen to the radio in the car.
Heritage Radio, probably.
All the time.
Any other radio?
Sesame Street CDs and whatever's on FM radio, nothing.
Well, I hope they play McDonald's commercials or whatever
one
it is.
One point,
for the record, Heritage Radio supports Matt Timms, but not McDonald's.
Thank you.
Hey, starving actors
feel no
love.
Guilt whatsoever on Food Day of all days.
And as a total coincidence, I was biking, drunk, home. Stopped by a McDonald's drive-in and got a horrible sandwich.
The McRib is back. I don't know. Did they tell you about that?
Uh-uh.
Someone actually told me. That's so funny. Someone actually mentioned, wow, this is McDonald's. Yeah. It's McDonald's food day. Someone actually mentioned that to me, like, that it was big news. And bigger than food day.
Well, you know that we're both been really obsessed about slaw.
Right.
And we've been talking about slaw boils.
We have to introduce the other people who are talking.
This is okay. So wrong of us. The Matt and Rachel show.
Who gave you a show?
Hey! You know why they gave us a show? Because we're rad, A. And B, because we come from two unbelievable other shows. And we're such amazing personages that people
personages.
Are really
but no,
because bumbling is
bumbling humorous.
Huh? Bumbling is humorous to listeners.
Let's do okay. The part where we introduce our guests.
Okay.
They're going to love this.
Oh, I'm excited. I've been waiting for this all week.
So introduce yourself. So,
I got to introduce myself. Oh,
Allison Robicelli and
just
Matt.
Did it for you.
Yeah, there we go. I thought that was your job as my host. And the other guy.
Oh,
yeah, my husband.
Now.
Wait, okay.
And the other guy.
So the last time you ate at McDonald's was last night. They make the most. Actually, I've put this into like at least four different publications. They make the best cupcakes in probably the world. The many outside of New York City, but definitely New York City.
Thank you.
You know, the first and only
cupcake. They're the only cupcake worth eating. I'm really sorry, everyone else who probably knows me. I'm offending.
Well, listen, the only cupcake I've ever eaten from these guys. I was kind of hoping you'd bring some cupcakes to the show.
I would have, but we sold out yesterday.
Ah, because you always sell out?
At DeKalb
out?
Market?
At DeKalb? No, DeKalb, we had one left at DeKalb.
And then we did the Grub Street birthday party.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we finished out. We sold out there. Actually, I had one Whoopie pie left, but I actually ate it this morning. Sorry.
Oh, and you make Whoopie pies.
And brownies.
Well, the only thing I've ever eaten from you guys was a chicken cupcake.
That's the only one you've had?
It's the only one I've ever had, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's not like I run around buying sweets. I should.
You go to McDonald's.
Often. Thanks for supporting,
Matt. I'm an ass.
Wait, do you make a chicken? Still make a chicken cupcake?
We made the chicken and waffles yesterday, and we did the buffalo one for the New York Food Film Festival, which that was last weekend.
Yeah, it was buffalo chicken, and it was a piece of buffalo chicken on top of a blue cheese.
Buttercream.
Is
that where you had it?
Yeah, it was a carrot celery root cake.
And those are two
things. That sounds amazing.
It's surprising. I didn't think it was going to work. I thought it was a little silly. I thought it was a really dumb idea.
She still thinks it's a dumb idea.
I still think it's kind of a dumb idea. But
I still can't get my brain around it.
She wakes me up in the middle of the night. I'll be sound asleep. Matt, it's a dumb idea.
You know when it's not a dumb idea? You have to be berserkazoid stoned. Yeah. Then it's not a dumb idea because you just pushed anything through your face.
Well, like I explained to you, it was like the first time I saw Dillinger Escape Plan, I was like... they were still coming up. They had just put out their first album. And it was we saw them at L'Amour's, which is this shit little a club down in South Brooklyn. And I remember just sitting there going, like, I'm not exactly understanding what I'm processing right now, and just being like, I was high as fuck at the time. But it was just that sort of like
too
you know
many change ups.
Like too many change ups. And it was like 7-3 timing, and I'm like, you're making things up. I never heard anything like that. And it's sort of the same way, not as cool, but the same way the cupcake came out. It was really kind of it was a bet. It came out of a bet between the two of us. And you eat it, and you're like, you know what you're eating. But
way you're listening to a Dillinger Escape Plan song.
It's like it fucks with your head. Like you don't know really what you're processing. And I think that's kind of cool about food, like where you could just fuck someone up like that, you know. And you don't have to like it. You know, I'm not exactly. Matt likes it. I don't like it. But I enjoyed eating it because, like, I don't forget that I ate it.
Well,
you know?
The whole idea of the sweet and savory, I get it.
Yeah.
But this isn't the greatest example of that. It's just a very confusing food that
you've
created.
Tell me again what it is.
It's a celery carrot root cake with a Port Reyes blue cheese buttercream. And it's got a piece of orange-tinged buffalo chicken on top.
Mm. See, that sounds really good to me.
Yeah. Oh! Well,
what sounds bad about it?
It's just so weird.
It is. It's weird. I went to Tim's corner. I'm the one who eats the wings in the relationship. He's not a wing eater. Oh, and like,
love wings.
I think you don't even have to add the chicken, which is the wing without the bone. I just don't like bony food.
Yeah, well, you're lazy. No, see,
yeah, I'm a lazy eater. I don't eat food with bones. It's like I'm married, and Allison, can you cut the bone off my pork chop?
No, that happens. No,
that's the thing that happens. Do you take care of the slice, crust on your breads?
I'll chew on the bone, I'll eat, but I won't eat anything off a bone and have to be cut off.
Damn, man.
It's considered a sign of skill by some of my friends in college that they could eat a wing, a boneless wing, or in one bite.
Yes.
I used to be able to do that, and I used to be able to do the double bone one. when I had my tongue ring. You get it right in the middle, and you suck it off.
You know what I love about you guys is that, like, last time we had, like, Rachel's parents on, and they're such high intellects. I had nothing to contribute.
No, Matt and I are Mike.
But
Matt,
this is the level. This is the level that I hope we can be at the Matt and Rachel show.
We're getting paid by McDonald's. We're drinking Budweiser, and we're talking about wings.
Yeah. We got to go to
Welcome
break
to
now.
Heritage Radio Network.
Yay! And we're back. We're back, and you just heard the Meat Men, One Down, Three to Go.
Whom you saw last night at Europa.
I did. And
I
they
walked
had to
by.
Change the lyrics of the song.
Why?
To Two Down, Two to Go. Because the song's about the Beatles, and it's about how they're all gradually
it's not
dying.
What are they
all dead, none to go?
Two down, two to go, two down, two to go. That's how it went last night.
You can actually hear the music outside walking by.
Oh, so fun. You walked by?
Yeah, last
Europa?
Night. I went to eat at whatever the lobster place is on Eagle.
Oh, yeah. That's a great lobster place.
It is.
Huh.
They have free. You know why? Because they have free goldfish.
Well, the other band that played was Black Fag.
She just looks like the girl from, what's that show? Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, guys. So off topic.
Why is there a window here?
Ripped.
I have bad ADD.
We can see into, I think, she,
they
actually, it kind of looks like she can tell what we're saying right now.
I'm going to nip this in the bud because our listeners, and there's throngs of them, don't care about what's happening at Roberta's. they want to come here and eat the food, but
there
now
are
is
tables
the time,
available.
Now is the time of the Matt and Rachel show where we do trivia and we sizzle a couple brains. So, Rachel, please.
Oh, sizzle some brains. These are questions for you guys and Matt. Why not? Okay.
Wait. Matt, this is very confusing. Okay.
Mostly you guys.
I'll go as Cornelius from now on.
So if your friends from out of town insisted on going to the original location of Magnolia Bakery, where would you go get a beer while they waited in line?
We don't drink.
Where would you go bide your time?
I used to be a pastry chef over at Jefferson, which was on, where the hell was that? West 10th. That wasn't too far from there. It's somewhere around there. Somewhere
actually,
around
pretty
there.
Much, Allison and I can answer. So both of us, we would probably let them wait online, laugh at them, and then shake fist angrily at how many things have changed down there and why there's no guys selling socks for heroin.
Oh, and the squeegee guys are gone,
yes,
too. Oh, dude, I forgot to tell you. I was walking home yesterday. Two pretzel guys back on 86th Street. So that's how you know the
in Brooklyn.
The pretzel guy. When I was a kid, for those of you who don't know,
These are both Brooklyn natives, by the way.
Back in the day, every corner had a pretzel cart, and that was a dude who had stolen a shopping cart, and you line the basket, like the part that the kid's supposed to sit in, you line it with like a little pan filled with charcoal, like cheap shit charcoal, and you would just put pretzels on top of it, and our parents let us eat these things, even though that you'd see the guy like with the box on the floor. And I mean, like in the 80s,
they were delicious.
Yeah, they were delicious.
Really?
They were.
Also, there was a guy in Staten Island who used to sell them out of an ice cream truck.
Oh, he was.
And it was code word. Crack. If you ordered a saltless pretzel, he gave you crack.
Yeah.
But kid went up there one day, asked for a saltless pretzel, and he got crack, and the guy got busted
for the same price. For the same price as a pretzel?
Probably not, because I guess the kid gave him a 20.
So this kid was not a Brooklynite, because apparently all pretzels are salted.
No, yeah, well, unless his grandfather had, like, I don't know, a sodium problem.
Yeah. So wait, and anyway, with the Magnolia Bakery, I don't even know what the hell's down there anymore, because shit, like, we barely go into Manhattan anymore, and everything is, like, you go and you're like, what the hell happened? Like there's Duane Reade's fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything's like Chipotle.
There's still one guy who sells pretzels out of a shopping cart. You're saying
there's
people
two
are back.
Of them. No, there's two of them on our block now.
And out of a shopping cart? cart again?
At two different shopping carts, like the same fucking day.
But is this something that you should really be proud of being from Brooklyn about? Because it sounds to me like they buy them in supermarkets and warm them up with coals.
Oh, no, they're
shouldn't
fucking
be
terrible.
In a supermarket.
That was just sort of like, I mean, because...
I mean, no, supercart.
Okay, like...
Supercart.
Brooklyn was not the best place when we were kids. It was not. I mean,
oh,
like,
no.
When...
Where were you in Brooklyn?
We were in Bay Ridge, which was the safe neighborhood because the mob ran it. But it was still like...
No, I was in... For the beginning, I was like in Sunset Park.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is one of the reasons I hate when people call their shit like... They name their foods after crack because... that pisses the...
Like crack pie?
Or like crack sauce or things like that. Because like when we went to school, there was crack pipes all over the fucking schoolyard.
Really?
Like seriously. Like you'd go into like your part where it was your clubhouse and like or in the park and there was just fucking crack pipes everywhere.
I'm naive. I thought a crack pipe was a big contraption with
they
a bowl.
Like, sometimes they'd like... You know, sometimes you play with them because they look like corn cob pipes or you'd like make little boats out of them and shit. Like we didn't
Why
know.
Why would
we
you discard your crack pipe?
We were six. We didn't know.
We had crack vials and all up in like, you know, the
base vials,
around trees.
I understand, but yeah. You want to hang on to the pipe?
Yeah, I don't know. If you're running, you drop it. Like, it
wasn't that's
on me.
True.
It
escape,
wasn't on
escape
me.
Plan.
So your parents would see it, like, don't touch that. And we always thought it was because it was on the floor.
Okay, so we've gotten one question in.
But there definitely was. There's a pretzel because I think it's like there's that cemetery right where there's probably more than one where Brooklyn meets Queens, but it's like right up here.
Oh,
off
Calvary.
Flushing.
Yes. Calvary. Yeah.
So there was a like not too long ago, I was headed to eat. I don't know. something Guyanese food in Jamaica, and there's a guy with the awesome. Selling pretzels out of a shopping cart, and to me that was just like, those must be amazing. Well, so like I stopped the car, like ran over and got one, and it was worse than a
it's not a great pretzel. But the thing is like it's the same thing I wanted to say about the McRib before, is that when you smell it or you taste it, you're like five. You know, and I distinctly, like, I remember that smell because every street smelled like those goddamn pretzels when I was a kid. And like last year when the McRib came back, I haven't eaten McDonald's in a long time.
Why not?
Because when you get older, you just like can't do it anymore. Like there's a lot of headaches. Shit you can't.
I think I should buy McRibs and sell them out of a shopping cart.
Yeah, if you
did,
make a fucking fortune. But like McRib hadn't been around for 20 years, and I see it, and it was like it was like a hologram. You know, you're like, or what are that? Those Mirage.
And there's fake bones in it, right?
No bones.
But don't they make it look like bones?
It looks like
bones.
So genius. I call him.
It's perfect for you.
Yes, exactly. It was great for him. I call him, and I forgot where you were. I was like, Matt. No, you were on deliveries. I was like, Matt, the McRib is back. And he's like, are we confirmed about this? I got on Twitter. I'm like, and everybody's like, how can you eat McDonald's? Blah, blah, blah. Local farmers, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut up, Mick fucking Rib.
So good.
It's good. So he comes in, and he's got like two giant shopping bags, and he got his two McRibs apiece.
It was going to go out. I just wanted to make sure I got my share.
So we just had two McRibs in bed, and like we're halfway through, we're like, this is not as good as we remember.
Well, it's like coffee gets better, and candy gets worse.
It tastes like 1988, and that's what I was explaining to everybody. I'm like, dude, like sometimes you just want to feel like you're eight.
A rush of emotion.
Yeah, and that's what it
was.
So
the answer is we would go get a McRib at McDonald's.
We're not going to Magnolia. We're going to get McRib.
If I happen to sell them on your corner from a shopping cart,
then they're like, they're
adding an extra dollar for my trouble.
They're artisan.
They're
McRib.
Artisan.
See, I always thought that if I were, who's like the number four or five burger chain?
Let's see, probably Wendy's.
Is three.
Wendy's.
So I'm going to go
Fox
with...
Fox if I know.
Oh, I'm going to go with that.
Hardee's.
No, they do the... Roy Rogers.
No, Roy Rogers.
If I were them, who they've been losing forever, right?
Maybe Checkers? No, I don't know.
Wouldn't you go like farmy, sustainable agriculture? I feel like that's like the natural marketing move.
Chipotle's doing that now.
Yeah, and it's working.
And it's freaking brilliant.
Pepsi is really... Their shareholders
throwback.
Are really pissed at them. Because,
throwback is different because if you have the one that comes from Mexico, which is the original recipe.
Uh-huh.
Coke.
No, Pepsi.
Pepsi 2?
Pepsi 2. If you go in the bodegas in Sunset, you can get the Pepsi, Sprite, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's this the Mexican Pepsi, which is the original recipe, converted to the throwback, is totally different.
Really?
It tastes a lot better.
The throwback tastes better or the original recipe?
The original recipe.
All I know is that Pepsi has gone they're trying to get less sugar in their product. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do all this stuff.
Or go back
to sugar
and
they're getting other stuff.
Syrup.
Their shareholders are pissed and they want them to stop with the healthy stuff.
Because
they're not making any money. Their shares are dropping and Coke is only getting better. I mean, they literally lost 7% of their I'm not an economist. But they're not doing well.
Don't expect me to discuss the issues.
They're trying to split Pepsi in half now.
Uh-huh. So like we're going like Coke and New Coke sort of thing?
It's half made with sugar and half made with corn syrup.
You know what? We totally got off. This is supposed to be a trivia and game show.
So it has the great, fantastic mouthfeel and preservation qualities of New Coke with the flavor of Old Coke.
I think that's just like...
It tastes like glass and razor blades.
We're food in general... It's. I mean, we're never going to be so super green, food day, earthy.
Yeah.
But I think that we're starting to make small change. Like, I mean, the fact that I could walk by a McDonald's and get apple slices for my kids is really a big fucking deal.
It's
to me.
A big deal. That's I agree.
Because
completely.
I mean, if you
corporate responsibility.
Because have you ever sandwiched French fries?
You're just trying to get them to pay you more money.
No, I'm spoiled as shit living in Brooklyn. I'm spoiled as shit that I grew up here. But like, you know, if we're driving down to Jersey or we're driving anywhere else, this is your only option. It'll be like, okay, there's a McDonald's, and then like in 20 miles, there's another McDonald's. So the fact that if we're making these subtle changes that are starting to change shit,
right?
That's a really big deal. You know, and I think we're all sort of, I mean, that's sort of what we do.
We got to talk more about that in a sec, especially about what you guys do. But we're going to break right now.
Again? How many breaks?
Yeah, we do. And we only asked you 5 trivia questions.
One.
But when we come back,
that was one.
You guys
we've got
work.
5 more. We have 5 more trivia questions. But thank you guys so much. Okay. We're going to break.
My nuts are on fire. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yay! And we're back.
The next episode.
The meat men are a perfectly fine choice, and they're totally related to food because of meat in the name.
They're also men. They're, yeah, okay.
And that's half of our Matt and Rachel equation. I'm a big man.
No, you're not.
Well, come on. Yeah, no, I'm a pretty big guy.
My husband's
a giant. Well, what are you, 6 foot?
Six foot six.
400 pounds.
He's larger than.
Wouldn't it be 6 feet?
What?
I like to have people say 6 foot, 5 foot.
I'm 6 foot.
Sorry.
Aren't you 6 foot?
We want to ask you guys a couple more questions. And can I ask a question?
Yes. Yeah.
This is just an easy one, and I only ask easy ones. True or false? A can of Coke has 3 whole teaspoons of sugar in it.
Wow. Is that just yet again more synchronicity?
Huh?
True or false?
Yeah. I'll say true or false.
Which one do you want to take?
False, because it's high fructose corn syrup.
I'll say true, because I'm just going to do the opposite of everything my husband does, because I'm a woman.
Well, the fructose, just keep that in mind. I mean, when you say high fructose corn syrup, it's essentially
fructose is still a sugar.
It's still a sugar.
So sugar. Stay with me on the sugar part.
Let's just go with true.
I'm going false.
No, you're going to go false?
I'll go true.
Why would you go false? Repeat the question.
False, because I believe there's more, especially in the caramelization that's supposedly supposed to be in there.
Oh, wait, there's caramel color, because actual cola is clear.
Yes.
They're using caramel color to make it darker. Mm-hmm.
And what about you, Rachel?
Can you repeat it again?
Yeah. True or false, a can of Coke has 3 whole teaspoons of sugar in it.
I don't know.
So you got a true or false and an I don't know. Why don't you tell us, Matt?
All right, thanks. It's false. There's 7 teaspoons. So Matt, you just destroyed that question.
You had false?
You punched it in the head.
7 teaspoons. How many calories is that?
It's 210.
Is that what one serving of Coke is?
Yeah.
My next question is a can a serving of Coke?
One can,
of Coke is actually only 4 ounces.
No, the can says 1 serving. The bottles say 2.5, yeah. The 20-ounce bottles.
So, I just picked up
a bottle of an 8-ounce can.
I picked up a can of Monster, and that had like 500 calories.
Who are you?
Really?
Per serving, and there's 2 in a can. So does anybody crack the top of a Monster, which is a massive can, and drink half of it because they know they should only have one serving?
I'm not going to call out a competitor by name, but just... In our genre, like people, like we do it with a standard size cupcake, and people come up and like, oh, it's a mini. I'm like, no, that's a standard size. And like cupcakes have gotten to the like what happened to muffins, they're these giant size.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're
and
jumbo.
People are thinking that this is now the norm. And if you look in the truth and labeling laws, because the larger locations, you know, you have to have labeling. If you look on the side of the box, very tiny print, it says serving 2 to 3 people.
For each cupcake.
For each cupcake. That is 2 to 3 servings.
The big ones
for
you're talking
big
about.
Ones.
So yours is for
essentially
per
mini
one
cakes.
But what, yeah, they are small cakes. And when you put the nutritional information, like say, oh, they're like, it's 400 calories, but that's per serving. That's where Coke gets you on the back because you're like, oh, it only has 120 calories. Servings. There's 2.5 servings in that bottle. It's all packaging. It's still, they're still being true. So when you're having a jumbo cupcake, you're eating 2 to 3 servings of cake. You have to multiply the calorie counts by 2 or 3 times.
Do you guys like
this
pie?
One I'm drinking
I love
right
pie.
Now. Okay. It's only 160 calories.
Yeah.
He's holding up a root beer, a dad's root beer, and saying that's 160 calories.
Yeah. I love pie.
Not to mention the fact that there's usually about 4 inches of icing on top of every one of those.
Oh,
big
how's your icing situation?
What there was a situation?
We have a situation.
Well, I'm hoping there's at least 2 inches of icing because that's more important than
our
cake.
Thing. We never liked other cupcakes. Like, I remember the first time I went to a cupcake place in my in South Brooklyn, I was like, this is such a good idea. You know, like, I can have a piece of cake, just a small piece of cake and a cup of coffee. Who don't like cake? Everyone likes cake.
Did you say coffee?
Coffee.
Coffee?
Yeah, that's how I say it.
Adorable.
Adorable. Annoying. Adorable.
That's adorable.
So
it is.
Sorry, I interrupted.
So anyway, so I have this thing, and I just didn't get it. Like, it was dry. The frosting was, like, sugary. It was really sweet, and I didn't like it. And we actually talked about this the night that we met, where it was like, we just didn't get it. Like, and we said this was very, we had no intention of starting this company. But we had said, why doesn't somebody use French buttercream, which is the stuff we used to use on wedding cakes. It's like a pat a bomb base. It's French technique. It tastes delicious. We're like, why can't somebody do that? Hoping that someone else would eventually do it, you know, and make really good cakes. So when we started doing this, we figured we were making like 2-3 dozen a week. Really, that's all we thought we were going to make.
How many are you making now?
How many thousand, Matt? A lot.
About
3,000 to 4,000 a week.
3 to 4,000
just the two of you still?
So is that per day? You're working every day or just?
Yeah, we work 5 days a week.
Five days a week. And then the other 2 days where we're off, we're doing other stuff.
Oh, my God.
The fun start of small businesses is called paperwork.
Yeah, now there's so much paperwork. It's like when I was first in restaurants, I remember being at Garmanger and looking at my exec, and I'm like, all he does is come in and he expedites from like 5 to 6:30, and then he goes out and he schmoozes. I'm like, I want to be an exec. And then I became an exec. I'm like, motherfucking paperwork and costing.
So,
you know?
How much schmoozing do you get to do?
You guys are pretty
schmoozy.
We get to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Is that a slam?
No, in a good way. I love good schmoozy. I think I'm not schmoozy. I'm Mr. Schmooze.
We do get to do a decent amount of schmoozing, but there's also, like, you know, you'll get like 4 hours of
schmoozing.
Schmoozing
is
time.
When you're actually at the events.
Yeah. You get like 4 hours of honest schmooze time a month.
They had a movie.
I was just going to say.
Food curated. Yes. Yeah.
Then you can see the buttercream in action.
Yes.
Yeah. Many times.
We got to see these guys in action, and we got to hang out with them at the New York Food Film Festival. Oh, so fun.
The problem with that was
got on the train after I said goodbye to you.
Yeah.
You
said
fell
goodbye
asleep.
To Allison.
That's right.
I was on the N going, and I woke up at 36th Street. I'm like, oh, great, 36th Street. They're like, next stop, Pacific. I was like,
oh.
I went all the way to Coney Island. And came back.
I haven't done that in years.
He was sober.
Six tacos sober. In the tummy.
You guys
and
don't
I was,
even drink.
I was like, time for siesta.
The Food Film Festival, I was really skeptical about this, the concept at first. It just sounded really weird. And then once you actually experience it, it's pretty.
Wait, so what about it sounded
things.
Weird?
It just, they were like, it's like, really, can you watch a movie about food? Now, we can watch TV about food all the time. This is normal. Mm. But like, are there really that many movies about food? Like,
oh, hell
full,
yeah,
length,
there are.
Full length movies.
Well, most of them aren't. They're really tiny little short guys.
Is it Moonstruck about food?
No. But like,
it's probably the best movie.
Any Italian-American movie is kind of about food.
All of us. A little. Goodfellas was about food a bit.
That wasn't a movie.
Yeah. Don't. We'll talk about this outside.
About what?
About Goodfellas not being a movie.
Goodfellas is not a
not
movie.
Not being a movie.
It's a movie. No. It's like pissing her off.
No.
Oh,
no.
Is that your favorite movie? Hey. Trivia question.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask one?
Yeah, sure.
How did the shoe fly pie get its name?
Oh, the lore behind it. This is how you were getting the pie.
You know what
shoe
fly pie is.
It's molasses. It's super
segue.
Sweet.
It's crack pie.
Mm.
No, it is. It's
crack
close. It's very close.
It's sugar. Crack pie.
No, right.
I had crack pie once. Crack pie tastes a lot like a pecan pie without the pecans.
Exactly.
It's a corn syrup.
In the South, we called it buttermilk pie because there was like 2 teaspoons of buttermilk in it. 2 teaspoons of
buttermilk and like a bottle of corn syrup.
Yeah.
Right.
Shoo fly pie was molasses based and it's super sweet. And they used to say that when it would cool, it would attract flies because of the sweetness. So that's why they say shoo fly.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I think you're absolutely right. But here's an even better answer.
Uh-oh.
And I like it better that it was used as...
Here's an even better answer.
it was a way of Pennsylvania Dutch cooks, by attracting the flies to their pie, they'd put that pie in the other fucking room. And all the flies would go out there, so then they could be left in peace.
So they'd bake a pie specifically so the flies would leave?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just put a jar?
I don't know if that's true. That's what I read online.
Why didn't they just put a jar of water upside down?
Or put the jar of molasses in the other room. This way you don't have to freaking bake. Because
all the flies are going to be like, dudes, do you know there's a jar of water?
Yeah.
You got to find out about this.
That's awesome. That flies are stupid and they'll go into the jar and drown.
Oh. But do they all call their friends over there? Because I remember fries in Sturbridge Village where you go, which is Fly Central, by the way. And they're all making pies and explaining in ye olde voices about fun stuff. And they're covered in flies. And you're like, I love 2011.
Wait, don't you picture all the flies hanging out on the side of the shoe fly pie like it's a swimming pool?
Yeah.
Like little sunglasses. Swimming in the deep end, laying out their towel.
Bikinis. Well, I'm so glad that we had the Robicellis on the show. And high five,
Rachel.
Are we
over already?
Are we going to do the
show now? And you know what the best part about this is? Is we're going out to the Meat Men.
Again?
My choice.
Really?
My choice.
And I are playing again.
Ha-ha! The day is mine!
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a public service announcement from Food Karma. To kick off the New York City Meat Week in style, Meat with a Twist will bring together the best chefs and mixologists for a cocktail food pairing party on November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Meat with a Twist features 10 cocktails paired with 10 chef selections highlighting local, sustainably grown meat such as duck, lamb, chicken, pork, beef, bison, and ostrich. The party will launch a week's worth of events throughout the city that celebrate the slow food movement bringing sustainable meats to our tables. Again, that's November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Updates, tickets, and more information are available at meatweeknyc.com.